Now, I've seen some of those and watched some of the videos and stuff on those newer 50 cals where they take the recoil out of it. But still, yeah, the percussion off that just got to, you know, shake you to the core.
I'll tell you what we was doing one day. We were shooting bench rest back up in Kansas. And like I said, I don't own any of those and don't do it anymore. But I was shooting a 270 at the time, I believe. And I believe it was a Remington ADL, matter of fact. I had it glass bedded and had a nice scope on it and a good trigger. And this guy was standing aft of my position, and he just pulled his rifle up and shot. He, in other words, he was behind me and to the side, and I had earplugs in. As I remember, I had earplugs in back then. When I first started shooting, didn't have sense enough, but they didn't take as much care as they do now. But I'm telling you, the concussion from that means he was behind my body and shot. It was just so painful, you couldn't believe it. So there's a concussion from any of them, but I sure wouldn't want to be out in front of that 50.
And, Tom, I'm going to have to say 7-3's here for just a minute. I'm at my first stop this morning. So, KO4, HKX, I'll be clear for a few minutes.
No problem. Just reminiscing from the good old days. See you later. Have a good day. And 0TR clear.
84FCM.
Designed to go along with that, Kerchunk. This is N0TR. No, N0TR clear.
KW4FCM. FCM sign.
Japanese chap won the Masters on Sunday in Augusta. That's very rare, I guess.
It's the first time in history, and that's his first win in over 4 years.
Nice little luck involved, I imagine. Well, I don't know how them guys do it. It's pretty incredible. I watch a little bit of it, but not too much.
You'll be checking out the inside of your eyelids.
Never been a golfer. It's always been out of my pay grade.
Some guys used to go play. I enjoyed it then, but that's before life got in the way, and now everybody's so busy we don't have time for it.
Take some time. Let me shut this light off up here. Oh, 701 and counting. Almost 702. Well, there ought to be some. I thought maybe Phil, W4NGU, might be out today. I don't know if he's working today, matter of fact. I know he had some days off coming.
Oh.
Mullen Springs. Yeah, Patrick, that old boy that had that 50 cal, I remember this distinctly. He used 237.5 grains of 4831 powder with a 750 grain Voltel bullet. Wow. That's a big cartridge.
It's a big cartridge. Like I said, I don't want to be on the receiving end of it.
Yeah, I've seen some results of that. But to give you an example, a 30-06 or a 270, I use about 58 to 62 grains of 4350 powder, which is a little faster than the 4831, which is about the slowest there is. And if you just figure that uses 60 grains and gives you roughly 2,800 to 3,000 foot a second, and maybe 2,700 foot-pounds of knockdown power, think, what, 237 grains of powder with a 750 grain bullet would do.
A lot more than I want to think about.
I think those 460 Weatherbys and 458 mags and that are around 8,000 foot-pounds. And they're not. They don't hold a candle to a 50 caliber. And if a 30-06 is right around 2,700, we'll say, just a rough figure, and a 460 Weatherby is around 8,000 foot-pounds or a little over, just imagine that the foot-pounds on a 50 cal, it'll just cut a guy in half.
But, like I said, I've watched some of the shows where they were testing the ballistics on that stuff, and it is just amazing what that thing will do.
Have one as a gift. My brother-in-law back in Kansas, he bought a, he called me one day and said, I did something real stupid. He says, you're going to think I'm crazy. And he was a retired police officer, getting up in age. And I imagine George was about 75 years old. And he went into John Sports Center and he bought a 44 mag Ruger Red Hawk with a scope on it. And I said, yeah, you're going to hate yourself.
For you.
I don't think he ever shot it much. I tried to buy it from my nephew. I wanted to give it to my son-in-law. He hunts elk and deer and stuff like that in Michigan and in Wisconsin. And then he goes out to Wyoming whenever he gets an elk permit. But if you have sons and he didn't really want to sell it.
If I ever get one, I'd keep it. I don't ever get rid of them.
If I ever sold, I had to because I was poor and there just wasn't any way in the world to, I'm going to watch this guy here. I don't want him to get parked too close to me. I've regretted everyone that I ever sold, but, you know, when you're poor, you don't really have a choice in the matter. If you want another gun, you got to trade one in. Oh, deep regrets.
I know a little bit about being poor. I grew up that way. But didn't even have a gun then. So didn't have to worry about trading it in. Didn't have it to trade in.
Deal in pistols. When he passed away, he had 3 suitcases full. That was back when it was passing a lot of laws and that, and I thought, oh, my God, I got to get rid of these things. And so I sold them and gave the money to my mom. And but he had some nice ones. Boy, I can't imagine what those things would be worth now.
You stick to find out.
Yeah, he definitely would. I got a buddy up there in Kansas that I worked with, and he's got a brand new in-the-box Colt Python that he bought back, I'm going to say in the 80s, that's the cylinder's never been rotated other than by the factory, and it's never been fired. And I know that they were getting around $3,000 for those things, but I can't imagine what he could get out of that now.
I'm going to have to break for just a minute. I got a phone call coming in. KO4HKX, monitoring.
Okay, I'm going to run back inside and use their facility, so I'll be gone for a little bit, too. See you later. In 0TR.
7J.
Good morning. In 0TR.
That would be me. How you doing, Tom?
I just jumped out of the car and took my heart pills. I was going to run into the surgery center here. I'm waiting on Bernice. She had to be here at 6:30, but they said the surgery wasn't until 8:45. Usually they get done early. She's getting her other eye done today, Mom.
Goes well, I'm sure it will. That's pretty basic surgery now, but you never know, but I'm sure everything will be fine. So I spent yesterday painting my tower sections, so I'm just about ready to put the 6-meter tower up.
Yeah, Patrick was in here earlier. I've been talking to him quite a while. Already got a phone call. Well, that's great, Mom. The tropospheric ducting and the sporadic E and all of that ought to be good for 6 meters. Bill does some of that, I know. And I talked to him the other day that he bought a 991A and uses it mostly for the otter things, you know, FT8 and stuff like that, because he's still got these 2590s.
That when we were up at Nancy Mountain last October, I think. So, and his TS2000, I guess, started to have problems.
Vlad couldn't fix it, and Vlad can't fix it. Nobody could fix it. Well, the kids got back all right from Aruba. Everything went smoothly. Amy said that it was a really good trip. They took their COVID test at the hotel 3 days before they come back. They went through customs down there instead of up here. And the biggest problem was when they got back to Atlanta, and it took them about 2 hours waiting on the shuttle bus. Finally, Scott went and got a cab and took it out to the car. When he got to the car, he had a flat tire. And, you know, things like that.
All of the fun things that make traveling such a good time.
QSL. Shoot. But the one exciting time is when they rented some all-terrain vehicles, and they go in a caravan. And the youngest, Jordan, he saw that the one in front of him was on fire. I'm telling you, Bob, that thing looked like a fireball, and it just melted down to nothing. And those people didn't know they were on fire until Amy and our crew, call it, started screaming at them to get out, get out. And they got off and avoided any burns.
Yeah, I guess that'd be a little bit scary for sure. Well, what else is happening, Tom? That was good. They had a good trip to Aruba. I wish we were going. We just are a little bit leery. But I get my second COVID shot on the 28th, so I haven't canceled the plane tickets yet. But it looks like we're probably not going to go.
It was really a good time because most of the spring breakers and that were not at Aruba. It wasn't crowded at all. That island's all desert, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. You've been there. They had a great time. One of the things they did was none of them's qualified in scuba diving. They had a thing there where this, I guess, auxiliary boat next to them had a supply of air from the atmosphere. And anyways, it hooked up to your snorkeling equipment, and you could dive down. They drove down on a ship that was 25 feet down without having any aqua lungs or anything like that on. They really had a ball doing that. My son-in-law and the youngest grandson went out and did that. The other two didn't.
And greatest, you're basically diving with an air hose. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, she said it was a little pricey, but of course you expect that. Snuba diving or something like that. I think that's what they called it. But they said all kinds of tropical fish and stuff like that. I'm surprised. I didn't realize that island was for the most part, desert. One side of it's real windy, and the other side isn't. And you took big ships down there, huh?
I mean, I would call them large yachts, not ships, but large yachts.
That must have been a hoot, Bob. I can't imagine being on one of them luxury things like that. I watch a show on the Revan channel. It's 50-3. I kind of think it's up around Hendersonville. And I love to watch that on Sunday morning. It has old cars, but it has the boats and the yachts and stuff like that. some of those things are less than yachts, I guess you would call them. 400-300 horse motors on them, and then the bigger ones are in the millions of dollars classes. So you were the chief operating officer, is that what they called you?
Captain.
Wow, and you actually drove those things, huh?
Yep, my captain's license, I have a 100-ton master's captain's license that I keep active.
How do you go about getting such a thing as that, Bob? A lot of book work in that?
That's through the Coast Guard. And, yeah, it's several weeks of book work. There's actually 7 different tests. You have a life-saving test. You have a test on the weather. You have a test on navigating. There's, and you take, basically take a course. And then you have a test to take. But you also have to have hours on the water. So I had to, you know, work on a boat and get it documented, hours on the water, before you could get your license.
Did you do that at, Bob, on the Great Lakes?
Key Largo. I did that in Florida. You've also got to have, you got to get a physical, and you got to this, that, and the other thing. There's several different levels of licenses you can get. You can get what's called a 6-pack license, and that allows you to, and that's a little bit less work to get. It allows you to take up to 6 passengers on a charter. But most of the fishing captains had that kind of a license. Or you can try to get a tonnage license or that type of a license. And there's bigger licenses than what I have. There's much bigger.
Amazing. It really is. And those things nowadays. I had to take a test when I took the commercial radio license, and it was called the GMDSS, Global Maritime Distress System license. And it was pretty neat. It'd be easy for somebody like Bill, but I had to study to do it.
And, you know, it was a little bit easier back then. I don't know if I could do it now, but the majority of it, you actually start to learn the more time you spend on a boat. You start to learn. It's like hands-on, you know.
I enjoyed it, but it was, you know, I can't remember the questions. Now, Jim and E, I took that back in the 90s, and they'd have a ship that was out 200 miles off the coast, and it had certain wattage of transmitter, 50 watts or whatever it was, and so many passengers on board, they tried to confuse you with all kinds of things, and a certain amount of batteries, and you had to figure out how long those batteries would last and what your possible effective ranges were and different things like that, and the emergency frequencies and stuff that I'd never been around, you know. But you had to take that test first before you took the almost 1,000 question commercial license test. And I didn't have any trouble with that, but with that Global Maritime Distress System one. But you had to be able to figure some things out.
Yeah, maritime distress stuff that we had to deal with, but we had to deal with navigation and lots of stuff. Tom, I just pulled into Home Depot here. I got to run. Got to run inside and grab some materials here real quick. I'll be back out in a little while if you're still on. I'll be grabbing up, jumping up on the freeway here. ND7J, I'll be back.
Okay, Bob. Well, you've had an interesting life. I enjoyed hearing about that master's license. Talk to you in a little bit. This is NZ0TR. I think I'll run inside and use their restroom.
W4FCM. They're signing.
KD4FDI.
KD4FCA, morning sun, wave, ready to get up.
Kids ready, out of the house. So, a lot to do. How about you?
Yeah, doing well. Give me a go take my shower. Your mother just got up. So, you got a good day. A lot of work to do.
Every week. So, but it's all good, you know. And it feels pretty good outside. It felt great last night. You know, it was a nice breeze and everything. So, what are you up to today?
Hey, your mother's got a meeting with a bunch of friends at Olive Garden and 11 Prayer Partners or something. That's it. Yeah, pretty day today. Gonna be 80 some eventually, but a little chilly this morning, but nice. No rain. KD4FDIW4FCM.
Chilly out there. It's not too bad though. Feels great. So yeah, cut our grass. It's really good. It's really, really thick with all the rain we had last week, so looking good.
Look forward to you every morning. I turn it on 6:15 when I get up and listen to hey, you get up. KD4FDIW4FCM. I'm working by myself with a helper today.
On Thursdays, I have Mark to help me, so that's really, really, really nice. So makes a big difference, you know. So I'll pick him up. Usually I meet him at the Home Depot. So once I get him, we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, be careful. That guy come over last night for that item.
Not last night. We missed each other. We'll have to plan it one day this week, so that'll be good. Come over and discuss some stuff, so. Yeah. But, yeah, I guess there's nothing really to watch on TV these days with sports, you know.
Yeah, pretty slow time, yeah. Well, love you, son. Good to hear you always. Be careful working with you and Mark. I lost my voice with the pollen yesterday. It's high. I'm going to get my shower here. W4FCM.
It's everywhere. It's coated. I mean, it's we got some lawn furniture outside, man. That stuff is just a yellow tint to it. So it'll hopefully be all washed away here in a couple weeks. So, all right, Dan. Love you. Have a great day, and we'll catch you later. W4FTM, KD4FDI. Signing.
Appreciate the guys that use the computer. Always appreciate that. Look forward to hearing you. KD4FDI, W4FCM. Signing. Start the day here.
RCL Mobile.
Truth occasionally.
I heard that.
See, I say the same thing about my wife. She's perfect, but to hear her tell it, it's a different story, and she says I'm perfect, and I know better.
Listen, we're just lucky we found somebody to put up with us, Russell.
Same here for sure. I don't believe she's put up with me as long as she has. Hopefully I can convince her to stick around a whole lot longer.
Well, how long you been together?
June will be 25 years.
Well, that. We've been together 53 years, March the 15th.
Let me say that's outstanding and congratulations. And second, let me tell you to slow down so I can catch up.
You move?
Yeah.
That'd be good. We'll have to visit St. Augustine and go back to that fountain of youth, I'm afraid.
Well, I tell you what, if it works, you get you a couple of bottles of it and you'll be set for life. You can sell it for $1 million.
Went there probably in 1967 when I was going to school in Jacksonville. And it was a tourist trap then, so I can't imagine it being much less now.
I know, I imagine it probably still a tourist trap, but tourism industry right now has dropped off tremendously with all the COVID. We've got a couple of friends up in Alaska, and they said a lot of the businesses and stuff that survive off of the tourism industry there around the coast and stuff, they pretty much just closed up and had to move.
Yeah, tourist trap. Well, I got a crotch rocket behind me running about 10,000 R's. Wow, that thing would drive me crazy. Noisy.
So if he drives like most of them do, he's going to be in front of you here as soon as he gets a chance.
Get on my bumper. It's a murder cycle. And I'm going to wake him up here in just a minute because I don't like him that close because he's going to wind up killing himself.
Yeah. I don't know. Riding motorcycles just doesn't appeal to me anymore. I done it when I was younger. Had too many close calls and seen too many people lay them down and get run into by cars or run into a car. I just said, you know what? I just feel safer sitting in the seat of a car holding on to a steering wheel.
1 to 2 a week here, easily. And people just don't, I don't think they see them. And people go out and spend a bunch of money and buy one that's never been on one before. And it's got horsepower like they aren't accustomed to. And they're just absolutely crazy.
Seems like all they're doing is building them lighter and faster.
A 360 Yamaha dirt bike. Oh, gosh, probably 30, 40 years ago. And I'm telling you, you could be running along 50 miles an hour and just goose it and it would come up in the air. And they don't even compare to what's out there nowadays.
For sure. Some of them, I don't even see how they keep them on the road. Let alone keep them on the ground the way they drive them.
W4DJW's got one of those high boosters, and I think the rev limiters kick out on it about 178 miles an hour.
I think that's moving a little bit too fast for my blood. I'm still kind of a little old school, slow school.
Well, you can probably hear him behind me. Here he's going to pass, of course. Wow, and this guy just switched lanes in front of me in a van, and he was less than a car length when he switched in front of me. I'm telling you, the drivers down here are, oh, wow, just unbelievable.
I hate to say it, but it's not just down here. It's all over. I've drove from here to California and here to Alaska and back, and been to New York and back, and done a lot of road driving. I drove a truck for a little while, and I'm telling you, it just, everybody's in such a hurry and don't have any regard for other people. And it's just, you know, you got to go, 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 go. And they just really just don't pay attention. And cell phones and radios and Starbucks coffee and Egg McMuffin and everything in the car and just too many distractions.
So I think you've got it pegged, Russell. Now, I will say this. In the more smaller towns than that up there in Kansas, they had a lot more sanity. I rode a motorcycle back then, and heck, we'd ride down to Noel, Missouri, and places like that, and it was really nice. And for the most part, the people were good, and the truck drivers were good, and they were courteous. And a lot of them are now, but a great deal more percentage are not.
Correct there. It seems that small-town mentality is going away in a lot of places. I was born and raised up here in Tigerville, so I remember when there was just a little country store there, and the university had about 300 students, and it was nice and peaceful and quiet. I could drive from the house all the way to Greer and not pass 10 cars, and now these 10 cars go by the driveway before I can even get out in the road, and it seems like there's traffic and stuff going on all hours of the day, night. Country just ain't as country as it used to be, but, well, it's where we settled, and it's where everything's at, and that's where we got our house that's paid for, and I really don't want to go in debt for another one, so I guess I'll just plant some more trees and put my earplugs in.
He got things under control. Well, we moved here from Kansas about going on 11 years ago. And up there north of Lake Cunningham, same exact thing. You pull out on the road now and you got to dodge cars to get out on 101 because they built 400 houses across from us up there. But the good thing is, Russell, I can't see them. We're down over a big hill. And they're up over the top of that hill, and it's just wonderful not to have to see that crowded stuff. But those houses are, 280,000 along that area. And you know, the only yard they got is enough to, you might push a lawnmower between the condenser on the air conditioning system and the house next to it. Other than that, that's it.
D2RCL. Yeah, that's, I had heard at one time that, one to Interstate 101. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'd heard that rumor going around as much traffic was over there. We live over off of Mountain View Road there, we got about 2 acres over there, and luckily we're on what was considered a flag lot, so there's 3/4 of an acre lot in front of us, and ours is back behind that and recesses back into the woods, and I kind of like it back there. We still hear some of the traffic, but not too terribly bad, but it's definitely far enough off road. We get a little peace and quiet.
You got 1.7 acres, and just love it. It's bigger than what we had in Kansas. And I'm going into a bad area, and I'm going to turn into Lidl's, Russell. So I'm going to sign with you here. I just crossed Pleasantburg Drive. I'm going to cross it. You take care. 73. Great to talk to you. This is your OTR.
That Tom, you and Bernice have yourself a wonderful day. Watch out for them other drivers. Bernice, I hope you heal up real quick and have no side effects. But I'm going to roll on over here to Inman, and this is K2RCL with N0TR, and I am clear 73.
This is NGRO TR Mobile.